Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences from the fifth line from the top on Daf Lamed Tes. Before we begin the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemaras of the Gemara marking system, the topic heading. This you will find in the outside margin under the title Nosei, Nosei being a topic. When necessary, when a new geometric form appears in a sugya, we provide a structural note, which we call Mivneh, in order to explain the role of those different geometric forms. In this case, the Nosei, on the outside margin, reads Nifsak Chut Meikoro. After the tzitzis threads are put into the corner of the garment, and then they're tied into the various knots and coils, let us say one of the strings tore apart, got ripped, at the point that it is inserted into the garment. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Ado. We are now in the Gemara. Omar Rav Ado, Omar Rav. Im Nifsak Hachut Meikoroi, if the tzitzis string got ripped at the point that it's attached to the garment itself, Psula, those tzitzis are unfit. Yosef Rav Nachman v'ka'omar l'ho shmaitza. Rav Nachman said over this teaching. Esvei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava, who heard this, then raised a question. We have a long question mark, and you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. He raises a question from a Tanaic source. As you can see, it is in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. The source says, "Bamed dvar mamurim, when is it that you require a shiur, an amount for tzitzis, a size, a length for tzitzis? Bitchiloso, that's when you are making them initially. And when you are making them initially, then there is an issue, which is not the focus of this particular Gemara, but there is an issue concerning a minimum dimension, and a minimum length. Avol, besoifoi, if after you have already made the tzitzis and they have been in use, then shiorov v'gardumov kol shehu. Then the shiorov and gardumov, even if they are a kol shehu, they are kosher. The tzitzis are kosher. We can't translate yet because that is what the role of the Gemara is right now. My shiorov umay gardumov. What do these expressions mean? My lav, do they not mean shiorov deifsik minayu vishtayer minayu? The case of shiorov means that the strings themselves were ripped and something of them remains. And the case of gardumov equals deigardum igardumi. That's the case of nifsak chut meikoro. And the source says that would not bother us. Namely, after the tzitzis are made, if nifsak chut meikoro, it still would be kosher. And that's a kasha on what Rav Nachman was teaching before in the name of Rav. The Gemara rejects this loy. There are not two cases in this source. Chado kotoni. The source is teaching an allowance, a leniency, but only with regard to one case. Shiure gardumov kol shehu. That means that if the strings of the tzitzis are cut, let us talk about the strings after all the knotting that it forms the tzitzis. Then you have the loose strings that descend beyond the knotted part. If those strings became nifsak or cut, and there remains a remnant of them, that is what the source says is kosher. So the Gemara asks if the source is in fact talking about one case, Velema Gardumov. So say Gardumov, namely something that's cut off. Shiorov Lomali. What do you need the expression Shiorov for? What does that add? Unless, of course, it's like we thought originally, there are in fact two cases. The Gemara says no, there is really one case. Ha Komash Mulan, the addition of the word Shiorov, tells me as follows. Deboinon Shiura Ligardumov Kidei La'anvon. That when we talk about the strings that are cut off, the loose strings cut off and the tzitzis are still going to be kosher, that's provided you have some remnant, as the word Shiorov indicates. And that is a minimum. There is a minimum dimension or length to that, although it's very short. It's called kedei la'anvon. In other words, if the strings, the loose strings, are cut off, and there remains enough length in those strings in order to wrap them around or coil them around, as we saw in a previous discussion, either one of the strings or all of the strings, that is sufficient. But whatever the case is, it's a small amount. However, as far as the case of Nifsa Chutmei Koro, that is not dealt with in this source. In other words, there's no allowance made for that. And hence we can revert back to what Rav Nachman had taught, which was in effect Rav's halacha above, that Nifsa Chutmei Koro is psula. We have a slash mark here. And on the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And you can, as you scan along in the Gemara, you will notice that in the next few lines, there is quite a bit of marking, and namely geometric forms and marking that takes place. This is designed to be of assistance. Let us take note of the Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a volcano shape. And in the Gemara text itself, we've indicated volcano number one, and there is a number two a few lines later. These are both around the name Rabbah. These are two halachas, Sherabbah mevi beinyan tzitzis. There are two halachas that Rabbah will mention in the context of tzitzis. Later on in our note, we will make a specific reference to what the content of these two halachas are in a moment. But before that, we want to deal primarily with the dynamic and the structure of this particular piece of Gemara. So we notice those two volcanoes around Rabbah and later on a number two. We've actually numbered them in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see the numbering. So there are two halachas of Rabbah. They are, for all intents and purposes, not related to one another, only insofar as the fact that there are two halachas regarding tzitzis. There is a double underline with dots in it. This is used to highlight the expression, the ko'omar mishmei, Rabbah was saying his halachas in the name of, and then you have to see, in the name of whom did Rabbah say? Let us say the first halacha. You'll notice Rav's name is in a house shape, and with the house shape point facing upwards in our markings in this Gemara, and you can see this is indicated in our Mivneh heading, with the house roof or tip facing upwards, that represents Rav's name. We are going to then notice a flipped over house that will enclose or denote Shmuel in this discussion. What happens here is very interesting. Rabbah says his halacha over in the name of Rav. Rav Yosef reacts to Rabbah and he says, what you just said is not in the name of Rav, but rather in the name of Shmuel. Then you'll notice there's another marking, a dashed underline in the Gemara text itself where it says, Itmar Nami. That phrase indicates that which Rav Yosef said will be supported by another statement, where we see Rav Yosef's contention that the halacha said in the name of Shmuel is actually backed up. So what do we see in the dynamics of this Gemara? Rabba opens up saying a halacha in the name of Rav. Rav Yosef says, no, it wasn't Rav that said it, rather it was Shmuel. Now, take a look at halacha number 2 of Rabba. Halacha number 2 of Rabba has him saying this point in the name of Shmuel. To that, Rav Yosef reacts and says, what you are now saying, this new halacha that you're saying in the name of Shmuel, that was not said by Shmuel, but rather it was said by Rav. And visually, you can see this, how this dynamic is taking place with the relative positions of the house markings around Rav and Shmuel. And likewise, in Halacha, in section 2, after Rav Yosef makes his comment that Rav said it and not Shmuel, there's again an Itmar Nami, which is again dashed, underlined, backing up that which Rav Yosef says. Now, turning to the Gemara. Actually, before we do the Gemara, we can continue in our note. In the outside margin, Shnei Halochas Haim, the two Halochas that Rabbo says, number one, Chut Shel Kerach Oile Min Haminyan. The Kerach, or the Kerach, is the binding, the winding around, the coiling of the tzitzis, that everyone who has seen tzitzis and are familiar with the way they appear, there, in addition to the knotting, there's also a wrapping around or a coiling that takes place between the sections of knots. That is called the string that's used for the coiling is actually a longer type of string than the rest of the strings, because you're going to be using up its length in the coiling around the other strings. That chut, that string used for wrapping around, counts as one of the tzitzit strings. So that if we insert into the hole, when making the tzitzit, we insert four strings, one of the four strings is the string that is used for the wrapping around or the coiling. Number two, tzitzit sheruba kerach kshera. If you have tzitzit, the length of which is made up of mostly knots and coiling, and the loose strings represent a minority of the length. So Rabba will tell us that that's okay, it's kosher, aval lechatchilo tzricha lios ruba anaf. But the proper way of making tzitzis is where most of it, in fact, we will talk about two-thirds of its length should be loose strings, and the only one-third of it made up of the knots and coiling. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Yosef Rabba v'ka'omar mishmei derav. Rabba says over the following in the name of Rav. Chut shel kerach oile min haminyan. The string used for wrapping around, for coiling, counts as one of the number of tzitzis strings. Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef reacts to Rabba and he says, Shmuel omra v'loi Rav. What you said in the name of Rav is really in the name of Shmuel, and Rav did not say it. Itmar nami, and we see likewise, it says, Omar Rabba bar Chano, Sochli Rav Yoshia demin Usha. And the Girsa adds here, very importantly, Mishmei de Shmuel. So it was told over that in the name of Shmuel, Chut shel kerach oile lo min haminyan. The string used for wrapping around counts as one of the tzitzis strings. And as we have noted before, and here you can see, we've attempted to dash underline where Shmuel's name is written in between the lines because of the girsa, that the focus is on the fact that Shmuel is the one that said it, as per Rav Yosef's teaching. Number two, Yosef Rabba v'komar mishmei d'Shmuel. Tcheles, the word tcheles very often is a term referring to all of the tzitzis. One has to be careful, especially in learning this perek of Menachos, what the term tcheles is being used to refer to. But in this case, tcheles is a reference to all of the tzitzis. Tcheles shekerach ruba kshera, a tzitzis whose majority of it is made of the majority of its length is in the knots and coils. That's okay. Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to Rabba, Rav Omra v'lo Shmuel. What you just said over in the name of Shmuel, in fact, Rav said it and not Shmuel. Itmar Nami. Now here we have some additional lettering. We have an Aleph, and a few lines later you will see a Beis. And at the line after the Beis appears at the beginning of the line, you'll notice Masni Hochi. And that's squiggle underline. In our Gemara marking system, we use the squiggle underline in addition to its use in certain cases. For emphasis, we use it when a second Lashon or a second alternative, an alternative is being presented. In this case, we have a second Lashon, a second version of what we are about to see under Aleph. Hence, you see the Aleph and Beis, two versions of the following. So, at this point, the Gemara says that, like Rav Yosef said, that Tcheles Shekerach Ruba Kshera, Rav Yosef says that Rav said it, not Shmuel. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Omar Rav Sheshes, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav. Notice how Rav's name is dashed, underlined. Tcheles Shekerach Ruba Kshera. The tzitzis, rove of which, majority of which was of knots and coils, is okay. Rav Chiya braid Rav Noson Masni. Rav Chiya teaches over as follows. We might note amongst the differences, in the Aleph version, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda said over in the name of Rav Sheshes, and we dot underline that expression, Bar Yehuda. In this version, we don't see that name. We see just Rav Huna. So he said, Masni Hachi, Rav Chiya teaches over as follows. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Sheshes, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav, Tcheles Shekorach Ruba, Kshera. That's one point. There's now a list of 3 points that we have numbered off. So that's 1 point. And this is, in effect, the same as the first Lashon up till point one, with the difference being the first Lashon had Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, and this one has just Rav Huna. Now, there's another point. The Afilu Lo Korach Bo Ela Chulio Achas Kshera. Later, the Gemara will explain the term chulya is a reference to 3 revolutions or 3 coils that go around the strings. So he says here that even 1 unit of 3 wraparounds, 3 coils, is sufficient. V'noi tcheles, the ikur mitzvah of ches, noi literally means the beautiful, the proper, the nice way of fulfilling mitzvah tzitzis, is as follows. Shlish gedil, gedil meaning the braided or the knotted wraparound section, 1/3 in the knots and coils, hushnei shlishi, 2/3 anaf, the loose strings. V'kama shiur chulya, we mentioned just a couple of lines up, the word chulya, notice we've added a dotted underline here and 2 lines above, simply to draw your eye to connect these 2 points. So how much is a chulya? Tani, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kadesh Yichroch Yishnev Yishalesh, which means 3 times. 3 times that you turn the string, the wraparound string, you take 3 revolutions around the other tzitzis, that is a minimum, and it's enough. It's enough to fulfill the minimum. Tana. We have a Tanaic source, and in the outside margin under the Nose heading, Misporei Hachuyos. We'll deal with different numbers with regard to the coils. So this source teaches Hapoches lo yivchos misheva, that if one is making tzitzis, he should make no less than 7 revolutions or coils. And v'hamoisif lo yosif al shlosh esrei. And if one is going to make more, he should not make more than 13. the Brisa goes on to explain the significance of these numbers. Hapoches lo yuchos mi sheva keneged shiva rikiyim. One should not make less than seven coils. The seven corresponds to the seven rikiyim. Rikiyim, loosely translated, will be heavens. We're talking about something very spiritual, levels of heavens. Vamoisif lo yosef al shloshesrei. One who is going to make more than seven should not make more than 13. Keneged shiva rikiyim v'shisha avirin she beinehem. If you count seven rikiyim, till you get, when you start from counting from rikiyah number one, between rikiyah number one and rikiyah number two, there's a space that's called the avir. And if you keep counting from one till seven, you'll notice there are six spaces between the seven rikiyim. And hence, six and seven is 13. Tona, kishu maschil maschil belovon. When he starts making the coils, let's go over just some basic facts. In the tzitzis that the Gemara envisions, the original tzitzis, you had four strings that were placed into a hole of the garment, in a particular corner, of course, and there are four corners. So you would put four strings into one corner. Two of the strings were white, and two of the strings were blue dyed wool, or tcheles in short note. Tcheles. Tcheles is, first of all, it's made of wool, and it's dyed with the tcheles dye. In making the knots and coils, this source teaches Kishu maschil, maschil belovan. When he starts with the lovan. He makes the first set of coils with the white string. Now, why is precedence given to the white string? Hakonof min konof. The pasuk says, hakonof psil techeles. So the word hakonof is a reference to, literally, the corner, but we learn from this word that the tzitzis have to contain, besides the tcheles, and have to contain material that's like the beged itself, like the garment itself. And that's what Hakonof teaches us. And since most begodim, were most clothing, were white linen, that was the material, the nature of most clothing, white linen, therefore, the white string is a fulfillment of min kanaf. In fact, the white string theoretically would be made of linen to fulfill this requirement. What we're saying now is certainly not getting into the many details that go behind tzitzis and all the varied possibilities, but dealing with a very basic level. Min kanaf would be a white string because it is that which is similar to the garment which was made most often of linen, white linen. So the white is mentioned first in the Torah. It says hakonof and then psil tcheles. Therefore, we give precedence to the lavan in making the coils. So he starts with the lavan. Ukshu misayim, misayim b'lavan. And when he finishes his coiling with the lavan as well. And the reason for that is malin b'kodesh v'loy moridin. When dealing with matters of sanctity, of holiness, we always strive to ascend in holiness. So that here, when you're going up, meaning you're coming toward the completion of the mitzvah, you want to complete on the high level. And the lavan is viewed as the higher level of the two. And the how do we know that? The fact that it mentions it first in the Torah, it must be that it's more important. Therefore, we start with the white, then the middle coils will be made out of the tcheles string, and then the final coils will be made from the white, using the white string. The Gemara goes on with an incident involving Rav and Rabba Bar Chana, and as the Gemara goes on, we'll see that Rav and Rabba Bar Chana have a disagreement. On the side, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, Talis Shekula Tchelas, a garment that is made completely of Tchelas, which we will say is wool that's dyed with Tchelas material. Im Tzitzis Shekulon Gedil, and in the story that we're about to learn, this garment that's Kula Tchelas happens to have Tzitzis that is made, that's the nature of these tzitzis that are featured in the story is that they're all the knots and coils and no loose strings. The Gemara. Rav v'rabo babarchana havu yasvi. Have kacholif v'ozil ha'u gavra. They're passed by Rav and Rabo who were seated, a man. D'michsi glimo d'kula tchelos. D'kula tchelta v'romi lay techelta. He was wearing a garment that whose material was tcheles, and it had tzitzis in it. Ugedilo migdal, the top of lamed tesamid beis says ugedilo migdal means it was the knotted coiled section without loose strings following from them. Omar Rav. We notice with the markings, we've underlined Rav, and the next line, Rav Bar Chana, and we've continued calling them Aleph and Beis, like we did at the bottom of Lamed Tes Omed Aleph. So Rav says 2 points. One, Yoi Glima, nice clothing you're wearing. However, Velo Yoi Tchelta, but Yoi means nice, in this case, Lo Yoi, not nice, are the way the tzitzits appear. And Rav's criticism is on the fact that there are no loose strings. Rabo Bar Bar Chana Omar Yoi Glima V'Yoi Tchelta. Pleasant is the garment and nice are the tzitzis. In other words, Rabo Bar Bar Chana does not seem to be bothered by the fact that these tzitzis don't have loose strings as part of them. B'mai Komiflugi. What's the underlying point of disagreement? So as we go on in the Gemara, we've dashed underlined Rav Bar Bar Chana and Sovar and Rav Sovar. So we can see each one's source. Rav Bar Bar Chana Sovar, Ksiv Gedil. It says in the Posuk, Gedilim Ta'aselecha. The Gemara here prints it in the singular, but the Posuk, the actual Posuk, you can see we've included in the inside margin under Dvorim, Chof Beis, Posuk Yud Beis, it says there, reading the Posuk itself on the inside margin, Gedilin Tase Lecho Al Arba Kanfeis Ksuscha Asher Techase Bo. That's a Posuk that deals with Mitzvahs Tzitzis. So in the Posuk, of Dvorim, it uses the word Gedil, which is the knotted coil part. Uksiv, the pasuk that we know as part of Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema says, psil. Psil is a reference to a loose string. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana learns from the fact that the Torah in one place refers to the tzitzis as a knotted, coiled unit, and in another place it refers to it as loose strings. He feels, oi gedil, oi psil. You have both options, one or the other. Hence, if you have tzitzis that are made of purely knots and coils, that in fact is a fulfillment of what the Torah expects. The Rav Sovar, li oilam psil bo'inon. You have to have loose strings when making the tzitzis, when initially making the tzitzis. Vahi gedilim, the fact that the Torah mentions gedilim in Vorim Chof Beis, leminyona hu da'asa. Its primary role, we'll say its primary role, is to teach us numbers. In other words, according to Rav, there is no denying that there have to be knots and coils, but the gedilim teaches me more than the basic need for knots and coils. It teaches me numbers of strings, the number of strings that are needed for making tzitzis. And he breaks it down as follows. the basic expression gedil, when you see that, the word gedil equals sham, that means there are two strings. A gedil is a unit of two strings. Gedilim, since gedil in the singular means two strings, if you have gedil in the plural, namely gedilim, so it's the plural of two, namely two times two. Arba'a, four strings. Psil, ase gedil uposlehu mitocho. And this is how the Rav darshins the psukim. The psil expression tells us that the strings are inserted into the hole and they're knotted. Posleu mitocho, there are two pshatim that you can see of in posleu mitocho. In fact, if you look in the Tosfos, you'll see a third pshat. He has, quotes, two pshatim from Rashi and then his own pshat. So one of the pshatim that Rashi says for uposleu mitocho means is that the string used for wrapping around, for making the coils, counts as one of the strings. Tosfos, in his own pshat, says uposleu mitocho means that after the strings are inserted into the hole, we've inserted four strings into the hole in the corner of the garment. There are four holes, of course, in the four corners. After you inserted the four strings into a particular hole, the strings then are folded over, so to speak. They loop down, and you have in effect eight strings that result. In other words, the four strings, when they double over, when you are about to make the knots, eventually you'll see there are eight strings that descend beyond the garment. Noticing a slash mark in the markings, that indicates that which follows is a new idea. So in the outside margin, we glance at the Nosei topic heading, Chute Tzemer, strings made of wool, Poitrim Beged Pishtam. One can fulfill his mitzvah tzitzis using wool strings in a linen type garment. So we see that wool has the power to, poitrim means with which to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis in a linen garment. Ma dinom shel chute pishton liftor beged semer. What will the din be? What will the halacha be regarding linen strings put into a woolen garment? Another issue. Ma dinom shel chutim mechoymorim shoinim. What is the halacha regarding strings made of other materials? Eze begodin potrim. What kind of clothing? What kind of clothing made of what materials will strings of other materials exempt or fulfill the mitzvah with them? The Gemara, Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi, Chute Tzemer Poitrin Bishel Pishton. Wool strings can be used to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis in a linen garment. At this point, we have a question. Ibaya Laho, and on the space, or in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the more text, you'll notice a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating the length of the question. The question is presented as an Aleph Oy Dilma Beis structure, and you can see that by just scanning ahead in the Gemara text itself. You see an Aleph, and a few lines later, a squiggle underlined Oy Dilma. In our markings, we often squiggle underline we attempt to always squiggle underline the Oy Dilma to show it as an alternative. So we have two sides of the question, and then following the long question, there will be an attempt to answer. That is found using the abbreviated Toshma in this case, and we've noted that also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, under the long question, the length of the attempted response. So the question, Ibaya Laho, Shel Pishton Maush Yifteru Bishel Tzemer. Linen strings, can they be used to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis in a woolen garment? As far as what we saw before, tsemer b'shel pishtim, woolen strings in a linen garment, hu depotar, there it was clear that it can be used to fulfill the mitzvah. The kevon detcheles potra, since inevitably you're going to have woolen strings, at least the two dyed strings, the blue strings, you're inevitably going to have, because every garment has to have the woolen tcheles strings. So since inevitably wool is going to be used in a linen garment, at least the two strings, lavan nami potar, you can use the white, the two white strings can also be made of wool in a linen garment. Avol pishtim betsemer lo. But as far as linen strings in a woolen garment, so there's no precedent for suggesting they could be used. And of course, we're talking about a woolen garment, and the pishtim strings that we are talking about are the two white strings. Can they be made of linen? So using the Aleph logic that we mentioned just before, that won't serve to allow the pishtim strings in the woolen garment. Or maybe kevon dechsiv lo silba shatnes tsemeru pishtim yachtov gedilim taselach. Since the Torah makes, first of all, the Torah teaches there's a prohibition of wearing garments that are made of wool and linen mixed together. But in the same breath, the Torah says that you shall make tzitzis. You shall make tzitzis. And we know that tzitzis, in effect, will be doche, supersedes the mitzvah or the prohibition of shatnez. So once that is the case, once we make an allowance, a shatnez allowance, when it comes to tzitzis, and our question concerned linen strings in a woolen garment, which in effect is a shatnez problem, therefore lo shnot semer bepishtim, velo shnot pishtim betsemer, therefore we will not make any distinction between wool strings in the linen garment, which was clearly mutter. By the same token, linen strings in a wool garment will also be allowed. Toshma, we are now coming here, a response. The Amar Rachba, Amar of Yehuda, the strength that we've noted between the lines, Kamo Beis, in other words, this approach will be an approach affording leniency or latitude, whereby, yes, we will allow the linen strings in the woolen garment. So the Rachba says in the name of Rav Yehuda, Chutei Tzemer Potrin B'shel Pishtan. That's one point. That is obvious. And number two, notice we've also dashed underline here, B'shel Pishtan Potrin B'shel Tzemer. We've dashed underline that because that's really what the whole question was about. A third point, and hence we have using the numbering to indicate three different halachas. The third point, Chutei Tzemer U'Pishtim Potrin B'chol Mokim V'afilu B'shiroyin. Strings, tzitzit strings made of wool and linen, exempt or fulfill. We talk about exemption, it really, that's a literal translation, but it means through which you can fulfill the mitzvah, potrin b'chol mokoim, even in shiroin. Shiroin may be translated as, Rashi calls it meshi. Meshi often is a term referring to silk, but for our purposes, shiroin is non-tsemer, non-pishtim. It's another material. It's not wool nor linen. It's shiroin or meshi. What is being taught? What is Rav Yehuda teaching us? That shiroin is a material that is definitely chayav in tzitzis. and what kind of strings can be used for a shiroyin garment. So he tells us that tzemer upishtim strings can be used to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis in a shiroyin garment. Let us look at the Rashi poitrin b'chol makom. It's a few lines up from here. B'chol minei beged ve'afilu b'shiroyim. Even in shiroyim or meshi silk garments. D'mal d'tema, one might have thought shiroyim p'turin, that shiroyim are exempt. And if I'm going to put in wool and linen strings into a shiroyim garment, v'avu kilayim shelo b'moka mitzvah, by putting in wool and linen strings together and knotting them together, and I put them in a garment that, let us say, was exempt from tzitzis, I would be in violation of wearing shatnez. Komash malon dechayoven, that's the point here, that shiroyin garments are chayev, are bound. You have to have tzitzis in them. Since I have to have tzitzis in them, so as we saw a few minutes before, the Torah makes an allowance to have shatnez when it comes to the performance of the mitzvah of tzitzis. What we've just said, and you notice the dashed underlining, which is the horizontal dashed underlining, is very significant in this little piece of Gemara. According to Rav Yehuda, shiroyim, we saw the expressions potrin, even shiroyim, potrin means they are used to fulfill the mitzvah, even in shiroyim, indicating that shiroyim are chayev in tzitzis. This runs counter to Rav Nachman's approach. Upliga de Rav Nachman. Before going on in the Gemara, let's take a look at our nosei, topic heading in the outside margin. Shiroyin, mi'il shel meshi, a garment, an overcoat made of meshi, silk. Ha'im chayuv b'tzitzitz midoraisa. Is there a Torah obligation to have tzitzitz in a shiroyin garment? Rav Yehuda chayuv. We already saw his opinion. The Rav Nachman, Potter. In a moment, you'll notice in the Gemara the appearance of a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. You'll notice a triangle being used, and it appears in a what I call a flip-flop fashion, point up, point down, back and forth. And in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, you can see the triangles featured, and in parentheses we've written Ma'akav. Ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style Gemara. With the point facing up, that will be Neged Rav Nachman. It won't be in his favor, it will be against his approach. And with the point facing downwards, that'll be Letoivas Rav Nachman. It will benefit his approach. Turning to the Gemara, we just mentioned that Rav Yehuda's halacha that shiroyim are chayav and tzitzis. This is counter to Rav Nachman. The Omer Rav Nachman, hashiroyim pturin min atzitzis. Very clear. He says shiroyim are exempt. Eisve Rava the Rav Nachman. Rava now raises an objection to Rav Nachman. As you can see, the point of the triangle is facing up, and we indicated that would be a problem for Rav Nachman. The source says, Hashiroyin v'kelach v'srikin kulon chayovin betzitzis. This source lists different kinds of materials. We have emphasized with dashed underlining what's essential for our sukkah. You see shiroyin, and it says chayovin betzitzis. That's counter to Rav Nachman. Answer, midrabbanan. It's chayav, but only on a rabbinic level. Ihachi, the Gemara asks a question against Rav Nachman. Ihachi, if this source is on a purely rabbinic level, ema seifa. V'kulan tzemer upishtin poitrin bohem. There's a Rashi. Tzemeru pishtin potrin bohem ka salka daitoch. The understanding at this point is shnei chutim tzemeru shnei chutim lavan shel pishtin. The two strings of wool, two strings of linen, are inserted into the corner of a shiroyin garment, tied into knots and coils, and that with that you fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. Now, by putting in two linen, two wool, tying them together, you're in effect making shatnez, aren't you? Now, if you say the shiur mechayev do raisa, unlike Rav Nachman, I knew the mishterubu kilayim. With that, I can understand that we make an allowance for kilayim. If you say that Shiroyim is only a rabbinic requirement, but from the Torah standpoint, Shiroyim are exempt, how can we allow a Torah level violation of Kilayim or Shatnez to put in to a non-obligated garment, to put in Shatnez strings meaning wool and linen knotted together, when it is not, when the garment itself has no Torah obligation? We've mentioned already before that we make an allowance for the Torah violation, so to speak, of Shatnez when it comes to something that is Chayav on a Torah level in Tzitzis. But if something is not Chayav on a Torah level to have Tzitzis in it in the first place, how can we make an allowance to have Shatnez put into it? So Rav Nachman will respond, Emo, the source that you are raising as a question on me, where you thought that the Tzemer and Pishtim strings are put in simultaneously, not so. Oy Tzemer, Oy Pishtim. The source above that featured the Shiroyim and the Seifa said the strings that are put in will help you fulfill the mitzvah. What strings are we putting in? We're putting in either four strings of Tzemer or four strings of Pishtim. But no way are we going to allow putting in Tzemer and Pishtim strings simultaneously. That's Rav Nachman's response. And all of this is because the Shiroyim are only the Rabbanan. Hochi Nami Mistabro. What we've done with the markings here is we're in the middle, of course, of this back and forth flow. But the Gemara now introduces an attempt to support this last point. We've indicated this with a double underline. A few lines later, though, there will be another double underline. At that point, the Gemara will reject this attempt to support. The back and forth flow will continue later, but in the meantime, we're dealing with an inverted triangle. We're dealing with a section that is in favor of Rav Nachman. So in the meantime, we've said that the source that we thought would be problematic is not. It's talking O Tzemer, O Pishtim, and Hochinami Mistabra, and that's the likely approach, the Katoni Seifa. The Seifa of the source above says, Hein Atzmon B'minon Potrim, Shelo B'minon Ein Potrim. That means, if you have a garment made of Kelach or Srikin, using strings made of those materials, that's b'minon, potrim, strings of those materials of kelach or srikin will fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shelo b'minon, if you put in strings made of other materials in kelach or srikin, the other materials, let's say cotton strings for argument's sake, if you put cotton strings into a kelach beged, the kelach garment, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. But what we see here is hein atzmon b'minon potrim, it says. That means you're using non-wool, non-linen strings, and yet you are able to fulfill the mitzvah, provided you're using kelach strings in a kelach garment. Well, e amrz bishul mother abonon, if you say that this source is on a rabbinic level, this whole source that dealt with the shiroyin and the kelach and the srikin is on a rabbinic level, hainu demifteru b'minon. With that, I can understand that minon, kelach strings, can be used to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis on a rabbinic level. Kelach strings in a kelach garment will work because it's rabbinic. Eloi amriz doi raisa. If you're going to want to press the point that it's shiroyin achayav doi raisa, then how can you suggest using strings other than wool and linen to fulfill the mitzvah? Tzemer upishtim hu de potar. At this point, since the source suggests you can use kelach strings or srikin strings or shirayin strings, it must be that the source is talking about mitzvah tzitzis on a rabbinic level, which is what Rav Nachman wanted to say to defend himself. The Gemara now here challenges that. Hence we have a triangle pointing up. At this point, the Gemara rejects the Hochi Nami Mistabra, which is not to the benefit of Rav Nachman. That's why we use a house with the point facing up. And we call this a Dechia as well. Dechia means a rejection of the Hochi Nami Mistabra. E Mishum Ho Lo Irya. If you are going to try to conclude that the source above with the Shirayin is talking on a rabbinic level by virtue of the fact that you're using non-semer upishtim strings to be yotze the mitzvah, that is not proof. That doesn't prove the Rabbanan, because I can tell you that non-semer upishtim strings have a d'oraisa level of fulfillment. And that's kidderava, based on Rava's teaching. The Rava Rami, Rava raises a seeming contradiction in Psukim, and the resolution will be forthcoming. Rava explains, Ksiv hakanof minkanof. One pasuk says that the tzitzis are made of minkanof, meaning the same material as the garment is made, so too the tzitzis shall be. Uksiv tzemer pishtim. But in another place, you see, in the pasuk we saw before, quoted before in the Gemara, we saw tzemer upishtim, where the pasuk says in Dvorim Chof Beis, it says lo silba shatnes tzemer upishtim yachtov kedilim ta'asa l'cha. In other words, the psukim that are right next to each other in Dvorim Perek Chof Beis makes a reference to tzemer upishtim. So the assumption is that the strings are made of tzemer upishtim. Ha-ketzad, how do you resolve these two descriptions of tzitzis? On the one hand, we said it's min kanaf, strings made of the same material as the garment. On the other hand, the strings are described as tzemer upishtim. Ha-ketzad, tzemer upishtim. Strings made of wool and linen, poitrin, have the power to fulfill the mitzvah bein b'minon, bein shelo b'minon. Whether the garment is made of tzemer upishtim or the garment is made of non-tzemer upishtim. Tzemer upishtim are so significant, we'll say, that they work across the boards. However, sha'ar minim, strings made of other materials, we say here, b'minon potrin. Shelo b'minon ein potrin. Now we've dashed underlined b'minon potrin and indicated midoraisa. According to Rava's revelation, non-tzemer upishtim strings do work on a Torah level, provided the non-tzemer upishtim strings are put into a garment of the same material as the strings. To use non-tzemer upishtim strings in a garment that's not of the same material, that's called shelo b'minon so ein potrin. What's the point? The point is that the source above that featured the shiroyin and it said chayav betzitzis, and Rav Nachman wanted to say that it's definitely talking on a rabbinic level and tried to prove it from the fact that minon strings are hein atzmon b'minon, we saw in the Seifa quote above, that does not show that it's necessarily only Durabonon because of Rava's drasha. Now, for Rav Nachman noticed the triangles flipped over. Rav Nachman said Shiroim is Durabonon. Where does he, what can he base himself on? The answer is Kinetana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. He can base himself on the teaching of the Tano de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. This is a Tanaic source. As you can see, we have a new marking which we want to explain by looking at the outside margin, the Nosei. The Nosei, the topic heading here is Mahi Mashmoi Samilo Beged. What is conveyed by the word beged when the Torah uses that word, beged or begotim. One possibility is rak temru pishtim. When you see the word beged, it means wool or linen. Another possibility is kol sugei habad. All kinds of fabrics can be referred to by the term beged. We have a mivneh. This is a crown shape, and it surrounds Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. And you will see the purpose of this in the Gemara is that the Gemara presents two Tanaic sources coming from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael that in fact are exclusive of one another. So in the meantime, we turn back to the Gemara, noticing the inverted triangle of Rav Nachman, who said that Shiroyan are Durabonan. He says that that's based on the Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. Hoyel v'nemru begodim b'torah stam. The word begodim appears without any further clarification or description. For example, the pasuk says in the Kriyat Shema al kanfei bigdehem. Doesn't say what the bigdehem are made of. U'porat lo hakosu be'echo mehen. And in one instance, the Torah actually spells it out. And that Rashi quotes from the Parsha of Negoyim. The pasuk says there, it says, and Rashi quotes it, it's, you can see it, we've dashed underlined it to highlight it in the Rashi, where it says, Bebeged Semer or Bebeged Pishtim. So you see the word Beged is used in the context of Semer and Pishtim. So the source, we turn back to the source, and it says that since the Torah uses the word begodim unqualified in general, and in our case we have by tzitzis al kanfei bigdeim, o porat lo hakosu bechomem tzemer pishtim, even in the source you can see the Torah does specify wool and linen in one instance. Therefore, af kol tzemer upishtim, wherever you see the word beged, it is limited to tzemer and pishtim. And based on this, Rav Nachman said, Shiroyim, which is another material, it won't fall under the Torah requirement of Al Kanfei Big Dehem. Because when the Torah is instructing, put tzitzis on the corners of your Big Dehem, that's a reference only to wool and linen garments. Therefore, Shiroyim, Rav Nachman will tell you, is only rabbinic. Omar Abaye, V'hai Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael Mafka Meidoch Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Debei Yishmael that we just learned is in opposition to another one. Another Tanaic source coming from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael Beged. He too, this source also focuses on the word Beged. Ein li ela Beged Semer. From if I see the word beged, so I know that that's a reference to wool. We have a pasuk that says beged semer. What about other materials? Minayin l'rabois, and this is talking about the issue of negoyim, of discoloration that creates tumah that affects clothing. So how do I know to include in the parsha of negoyim minayin l'rabois semer gemalim? Tzemer anovim, v'noitzim shalizim, different hairs that grow from different kinds of animals, the hairs that grow from camel, from arnovim, from goats, v'kelach, v'srikin, v'shiroyim, minayin, all these other materials that we saw listed above. How do I know that negoyim can affect them? Talmud loymar, oy beged. The pasuk says, beged tzemer, o bebeged pishtim. So the word oy includes others. But what we see from this Tana Yishmael, that when you see the word beged, in the final analysis, it's not limited to tzemer alone, but rather can include all other kinds of materials. So according to this Tana Yishmael, of course, if you transpose this over to the midst of tzitzis, it'll come out that shiroyim are in fact chayav in tzitzis, based on the pasuk of Al Kanfei Bigdehem, and the word Bigdehem, according to the second Tana Rabbi Yishmael, would be inclusive of all other kinds of materials beyond Semer Upishtim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.